This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Welcome to the Transfer Rumour Mill Show here on Love Sport Radio. Graham Butler is in the studio. Graham, it feels like it's been forever.
Jakey, it's been a while, poos, it has.
Yeah, thanks for that, mate. Yeah, just while the news was on, my mum messaged me and it reads, "Hi, Jakey Poos." Genuinely, my mum has never called me that before in my
Jakey
life.
Jakey Poos.
The Wolves match is on Sunday the 11th of March at 2 p.m. Are you still coming? Any idea about your birthday yet?
Aww.
So I'll WhatsApp my mum.
Bless her, Jakey Poos.
Jakey Poos.
Yeah, it's been a while, isn't it?
It has been a while. You've been on holiday.
I know, you've been
here, there, and everywhere.
Bits.
Well, yeah. All right. Right, that's going to take some explaining. Apologies if you're not a Love Island fan, but myself and Graham are. We love it. It's great. So we've decided. Well, no. Initially, we almost semi. Thought, could we stick it on, because it's on right now.
Yeah,
it's a real commitment, by the way, that we're here when we're gonna have to watch Love Island on catch up tomorrow. Thought, can we have it on? It's like, no, because we take this seriously, you know. I've got to watch, I watch it on my own, okay? I need to focus and take it all in and then discuss afterwards, okay? So we thought, no, we can't stick it on, but what we could perhaps do is a bit of Love Island bingo. So producer David, could you find a little ting noise for us? And don't need it right now, but just throughout the course of the evening when Graham drops in a Love Island phrase, like,
or you do,
or me. What, yeah. Did you just lay it on thick? Did you?
No.
Oh God, no.
You was doing bits for the last few weekends.
Yes, I have been doing bits for the last few weekends. So yes, each time there's a Love Island phrase, catchphrase, we will do a little noise and we'll tally them up by the end of the show. Okay, let's do transfer rumours, shall we?
The Love Island hour.
Yes. Oh, mate, honestly.
Could you imagine?
Yeah, when I've actually generally thought about doing a Love Island podcast.
Oh, I'm in.
It would be great, wouldn't it?
Oh, it'd be fantastic.
Yeah. That'd be my dream job, to do a Love Island podcast. I mean, it's all not, if you can't go on it, it's the next best
thing. It's the next best thing, isn't it?
Yeah, just to talk about it. Anyway, let's do football, shall we? Let's start on Marko Arnautović, actually, because that one is pretty fresh. All sources, all reports say that deal now to China is done. Are we glad to see the back of him?
I think so. I think he's been a bit of a pain for West Ham, and as a Spurs fan, it kind of pains me to say it, really, to be honest. But he was angling for a move in January. I think his head got turned by China in January.
That was head got turned, by the way.
Oh, it's going to be one of them nights. I'm not going to be able to concentrate. No, but on a serious note, I think his head got turned by China in January, and he just saw the money. And
his head turned.
And he's going to keep doing that all night now. He's seen the money. He's got, for me personally, the way I see it as an outsider, he's got no interest in being at West Ham. And he's just uprooted and done the thing that he's only really looked out for himself, hasn't he? So,
yeah.
For West Ham's sake, I think the best thing to do was get rid of him, get him out of the club, get him long gone, and get some sort of harmony back there.
Yeah, I think what he's done is he's said, "I am happy, but could I be happier?" Right, that's it. I'm
Dave's
stopping now.
Keep up.
I'm stopping now. Dave's actually now walked out of the studio. No, it is weird because I really like the maverick-like personality of Marko Arnautović. Do you know those kind of footballers? Yeah. I do like them, and they are great personalities, but I think he's behaved absolutely appallingly. The fact that he initially tried to force his way out in January at 50 million quid, and he completely disrupted West Ham's season. He then came back into the squad and did nothing. He was crap the back end of last season. He really was. Signed a new deal for more money, and now he's gone for a fraction of that fee in January. And apparently the story is that basically the players, the management, everyone within the club just wants him out because they're sick of it. I mean, he was posting pictures as well of, you know, about how much he loves the club, and there was some picture of him like building some homes, and, you know, and everyone was thinking, getting excited, or he's here to stay, this is where he's happy. And yeah, I think he's behaved absolutely appallingly.
I think anyone who goes to China, and this, I think the closest thing to being honest about it was from Moussa Dembele going to China. But I think anyone who goes to China is clearly only going for money.
Yeah.
There is no other reason for it. Let's be honest about that. So that move for him sums up the kind of person I believe he is. He's just solely in it for himself, which is an absolute shame because, like you hit on, Jake, that as a player,
he's great.
He's not the worst player in the world.
No.
And if you had half a brain cell in there and someone who was willing to really knuckle down and go, do you know what? I've made enough money in my career. I just want to play football now. I just want to settle down somewhere, enjoy my football and do the very best for the club that I'm employed by. You would get a good 15 goals
See,
out of him.
The thing is, I'm not bothered by him going to China and him going for money because I'd do the exact same thing. And I would. I'd never blame any person for doing it because it doesn't even matter if you're rich. If someone offers you twice as much money, four times more money than you've already got, I mean, I'd rather have 10 million than 5 million. I would. It's just about the way you conduct yourself as a person and the way his agent has acted. And I feel sorry for West Ham because they had a similar thing with Dimitri Payet as well. Their two best players they've had over the last 5 years have, you know, the fans there, the football club, have absolutely worshipped them. Mm. They've absolutely worshipped them. I mean, Marco Nanatovic at a lesser extent because he wasn't as mercurial as what Payet was. But yeah, I feel sorry for him. I know that you probably less sympathy as a Spurs fan. But,
no.
if a player like that, I mean, we as a Leicester fan had on a similar scale with Riyad. You know, he would each time the back end of a transfer window came, you knew what was coming. It was incredibly disruptive. And again, it was the back end of Claude Puel's first season, or you know, when he first came, it completely disrupted our season. Yeah. It completely disrupted our season, and it's wrong that a player has that much power.
It does. It's noticeable that the players that cause this sort of problem and rift within dressing rooms are the playmakers. You look at Mahrez.
Mm. Do you think it's a personality thing that those players like?
I think it's a case of them thinking that they're better than what they are,
yeah,
and that they're sort of undermining. Talk of the devil.
Yeah,
they're undermining the club that they play for, and it's almost like I'm the star man here. The club are always looking at me.
Mm.
Arnautovic, he thinks he's a big fish in a small pond. The club rely on me. They rely on my skill set, my goals, my attributes, therefore I should be playing somewhere bigger. I should be this, I should be that. I think the same happened with the back end at like you said, with Mahrez at the back end of his Leicester career. Dimitri Payet was certainly one that they heavily relied on, and it sort of got to him, and he ended up forcing for a move. And I think it's just the character of the playmaker, the character of who they are, and some obviously think they're bigger than what they are.
Yeah. A player I think is not too dissimilar to Arnautovic, certainly in temperament, Aleksandar Mitrovic. Not transfer rumours per se, but news. He's going to be staying at Fulham. What do you make of that? Signed new contract today.
I'm surprised.
Yeah,
massively. I think that you would always take a punt on centre forwards because, especially if they've gone down as well, that the outlay for them isn't going to be that great. They're just going to want to get them off the wage book. So you can take a punt on them. And if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, you will probably end up getting your money back for them anyway and just send them abroad somewhere. But someone like Mitrovic, I wouldn't say always, like, because I've only known him ever since he was really in the Premier League. But last two or three years, I think he would do a lot of teams a lot of good. And I thought there would have been serious interest in him, even at somewhere like Spurs. You could have easily gone as a backup striker.
Yeah.
Imagine him coming on with 20 minutes to go. I am surprised, and I can imagine he's on a fair wage there.
I think he's about 100k.
So for them to not only nail him down to a new contract, but obviously fend off any interest from clubs that maybe have been sniffing about, they've done well, and it just shows Fulham's intent to clearly try and get back into the Premier League at first time of asking.
Yeah, no, and it will certainly help them to do that. As you say, I think most Premier League clubs, Mitrovic would have certainly, if he's not starting for them, been a useful addition for them. And just staying on the theme of transfer deals, not one quite completed, but one that I'm sure you have an opinion on. I've seen lots of people tweeting about already. Again, I've got no major issue with it, but Tyrone Mings, the Bournemouth player, was on loan at Aston Villa last season. That deal looks like it's now set to be turned permanent. £25 million around that mark anyway. I mean, you're shaking your head. But, I mean, is that not the going rate for a young...
Scarily, it is.
It is.
I mean, I know I shake my head in terms of... I think you look back sort of 5-10 years, what would you get for £25 million? If you really go into it, you look at deals that have happened for £20-25 million players over the course of the last 5-10 years. would you really have Tyrone Mings in a bracket of £20 to £25 million? But like you say, the inflation of football now, how many games has that guy played over the last 3 years?
Yeah. Well, this is what I've, the only reason I find it, not humorous, but of slight smirk value, is the fact that Bournemouth have a player of £25 million who can't get in their team. You know, that I find that incredible. And again, with the greatest respect to Bournemouth, how has it got to the point where they've got players who can't get in their team being sold for £25 million?
It's head-scratching, I think. Fair play to the agents that are getting this deal done and over the line for them, but I genuinely haven't got an.
Do you think though Tyrone Mings is Premier League level?
No,
you don't think he is.
No, not at all. Nowhere near it.
Because he did transform, but he did very very well for Aston at the back end of last season.
Yeah,
and when he left Ipswich to go to Bournemouth, a load of Premier League teams wanted him. So was it just because lots of people actually have gone to Bournemouth and not gone in? It's quite weird that people don't talk about Eddie Howe's transfers. The last bulk majority of that squad is the same that kind of went up, and they've spent quite a lot of money, but the players never seem to get in. I mean, Nathan Aké and Jefferson Lerma, two big ones, but you know, the facts of Callum Wilson, Josh King, you know, Daniels, Francis,
Lewis Cook,
Dan Gosling, they've all been there for years and years and years. I find that incredible. But yeah, so I'm not sure. Is it just because he fell kind of foul of all those other players trying to go to Bournemouth and not getting in, or is he just maybe not quite at that level?
I think injuries obviously played a bit of a part for him as well. That hasn't helped him at all. He hasn't really had a run together. So, you probably could use that. I think the form of probably the other players hasn't helped either. I mean, what is it? He's centre-half and right-back, isn't he?
Is he right? I think he might be left. But he's centre-half,
He's centre-half.
He came for Ipswich as a full-back. But,
that's right.
I think he's better as a centre-half.
I think you look at... I mean, Bournemouth's captain, Steve Cook... He's not going to dislodge him.
No.
Nathan Aké, and there was... Who was the other one?
Simon Francis.
Yeah. Three really dependable, I think. Without being spectacular.
Safe.
They're safe, yeah. He can rely on them. I can't see Tyrone Mings getting in front of them. Injuries, like I said, hasn't helped him. But I just think if you're going to be Premiership proven and you're going to be that step ahead, you've got to get in front of people like Simon Francis, like Nathan Aké. You've got to be pushing him out the side. You've got to be getting in front of Nathaniel Clyne at right back. You look at Charlie Daniels at left back, and it's like, if you're going to really push on and be at that value that you're being targeted for, you've got to be getting in the team ahead of them. You've got to be sort of saying, well, I'm better than him. If he cannot get in that Bournemouth side with the side that they've got now, and I'm not disrespecting them, I think that this is quite a settled Premiership sort of side that they've got there. They've been there a few years, like you say. But if you're Tyrone Mings and you're being spouted out at 20, 25 million, you should be playing regularly in that Bournemouth side. If you cannot get in that Bournemouth side, then you've kind of got a bit of a problem.
Yeah, no, but sometimes just faces fit and players fit. It'll be interesting to see how that works out. But Tyrone Mings looks like he's going to be an Aston Villa player. Still to come over the course of the next 45 minutes until 10 p.m. this evening. Going to talk about Man City. Have they finally, we've been trying to do it, haven't they, for a few transfer windows to get a replacement, a long-term successor to Fernandinho. Looks like Rodri, he is the man that's come in. But is he the man to replace him? We'll talk about Rodri shortly. We'll do Youri Tielemans and Sean Longstaff as well. I like this one. I discussed this as well earlier with the guys on the fans forum. You've got Youri Tielemans set to sign for Leicester at £40 million. And Man United today linked with a £50 million move for Sean Longstaff. Everyone knows that Youri Tielemans is available for £40 million. Then why have other Premier League clubs not gone in for him? But as a Leicester fan, of course, absolutely delighted that looks like that deal's set to be done. And also have a little chat about Charlie Austin as well. Raf Hasenhüttl has told him that he is not in his plans. He's allowed to leave. Rumoured to be somewhere between £5 and £10 million if you want to sign him. Where could you see him ending up? A Premier League side or a top-end championship would do that. And a whole host of other rumours up until 10 p.m. this evening.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
Hashtag heads gone. That was your message to me earlier on, Graham, with regards to Youri Tielemans and Sean Longstaff. I think it's a really, really good point. Youri Tielemans is set to sign for Leicester. I think it's done. What I've been told is it's done. It'll probably get announced as soon as maybe tomorrow, at £40 million from Monaco. And Sean Longstaff is a very, very good player. He's not played a lot, but everything suggests Newcastle have got a little bit of a gem there on their hands. Man United have got an interest in him, quoted £50 million. Look, how true that is, it's a paper story, but it's a fee. It's something to talk about. I find it unbelievable, Graham, that the whole Premier League knows that Youri Tielemans is available, and he's available at £40 million, that he's going to end up at Leicester.
You know my feeling on Tielemans.
He's a player.
I've raved about him for 2-3 years now, even when I saw him coming through at Anderlecht at 17. Mm. There was a stature about him, and I've always liked the sort of old school footballer, of someone who looks like an athlete, someone who looks well built, looks like they can handle the physical side of the game. I know, sort of like the game is going down, the sort of, you don't really care what they look like as long as they're good on the ball route. But I love Tielemans. Got literally got everything about him. I think there is so much potential to become world class, and Leicester have put all their eggs in one basket. I was dying to get that in. I had that written down. So they've put all their eggs into one basket.
Don't force and
they've,
it, Graham. Don't force
no, and they've gone
laying it on factor 50, mate.
God. But they were gravitating towards a move to Leicester, and Leicester have sort of really stuck with Tielemans, and you haven't really seen them being linked with any other midfielder, and it just looked like they had that time with him from January to really sort of assess where he wants to be and where he wants to go. And all the talk was obviously Leicester want Tielemans, and it just looked like, from an outsider looking in, it just looked like he was settled there and there wasn't really any other place he was going to go. And people like Man United, Tottenham, anyone could be linked with him, but he just always seemed like he was going to end up going back to Leicester because that's where he was happy. Mm. But like you say, the fact that you've got Man City bidding 60, 70 million for Rodri, you've got Sean Longstaff at 50 million, when surely Leicester can't compete with those sides when it comes to wages.
Well, I think they can. I think of course we can. Like, I think I don't think it's a matter of cash. It's purely, for me, I'm amazed because there was no agreement with Monaco from the loan to make it permanent. This has been negotiated after the loan. You know, that because as often the case, it's a loan to turn into a permanent. That never happened. So this has been going on for a couple of months since the season finished. So we've been negotiating at £40 million and nobody's gone in. But the reason why it's taken a couple of months is because he was wanting and hoping for other offers. Mm.
You know, I'm surprised that the fact that he could be playing Champions League football.
He liked it at Leicester, but it wouldn't have been his first. If someone else had come in, like Spurs or Man United, he would have gone to them. But he's now accepted they're not coming in for him.
Strange. It's really, really strange, bearing in mind that what he offered in the time that he was there from January, I think it was something like 6 goals in 17 games or something.
Three goals, 5 assists. It was 12 games or something. Yeah. It was really good.
It's a good return, and I think a good pre-season under his belt and a full season in the Prem, he'll be a fantastic... Well, I think he's a fantastic player anyway, but I think he'll really do well there next year alongside Ndidi and Madison and Harvey Barnes and Iosi Perez now obviously come in. I think there's the making there of a really strong, settled Premier League side and forcing their way back into the top six again.
Yeah, no, I am excited, but try not to get too excited. But I think with Tielemans, and I've had this conversation with a couple of Leicester fans, that I would go as far, I know he's going to be a club record signing, but I'd go as far as saying he is the best player or that signed for us. In the sense of, I'm not saying he's the best player of all time because of, you know, Mahrez and Vardy, but we obviously developed them. In terms of, like, the finished article, again, not saying it's a finished article, but in terms of where he's at right now, it's the best player we've ever had.
There's a pulling power there, and I think that comes from Rodgers. I think.
Massively.
When you looked at, with all due respect, the kind of managers you've had in between Ranieri...
Claude Puel did not inspire anyone.
No.
When a player signs, oh, I want to play for the manager. No one in the history of Claude Puel said, I want to play for this football club because I like the manager. Yeah.
No, I think Ranieri was the first one you had, and that was proven in winning the league. They wanted to play for him. Yep. Everything was for Ranieri. Went through that stage where it's just completely gone back downhill again. But I think with Rodgers, you've got someone in there now that has a direction of what he wants to play. There is something there. There is a picture and a vision and stuff. And if he is going to entice these players, and it's kind of proven, you know, Iosi Perez is a good little player.
I'm happy with
it. And that is a great little signing for someone like, with all due respect, for someone like Leicester to bring him in for 30 million.
It improves you. Yeah.
He's better than Slimani and he's better than Iheanacho.
Yeah.
So there's an improvement for a start. to, like you say, to get someone like Tielemans on board, who is coveted all throughout Europe, and the fact that he's actually managed to tie it, well, it looks like he's managing to tie him down to Leicester, is a real step in the right direction. And I think the next thing now is obviously to persuade Maguire to stay.
Yeah, yeah. We won't do Maguire chat today. I think it's been exhausted. Yeah. And nobody really knows what's going to happen. My opinion aside, because obviously I'm a Leicester fan, so I'm very much biased, I'm talking about other people getting excited about this Leicester team. As you mentioned, you know, that midfield of Ndidi, Tielemans, Maddison, it's very good. We all know what Vardy can do. Throw Perez, Harvey Barnes, Damari Gray, and then a back four of Ricardo Pereira, Johnny Evans, Harry Maguire, Ben Chilwell, and Kasper Schmeichel. Lots of people are saying that Leicester could do something next season. Now, what that thing is, I don't know, but that gap between the top six is big, or is it?
It's shortening. I think the gap, there was a noticeable, and I'm stating the obvious here, but there was a noticeable gap between the top two and the rest last year.
And that'll be the same again, I reckon, next season.
And that, do you reckon?
If the season started right now, it'd be the top two. We know who the top two are.
Do you reckon the gap would be closer, i.e. in terms of points?
No, I don't think it would be. As things stand, I mean, Spurs and Chelsea, for me, as things stand, are top four. And then Arsenal and United are fifth and sixth for me.
I think Chelsea are going to struggle next year.
I think
they're going to struggle. I think with that Leicester side, and I've looked at it quite a few times, because I don't know why I just keep looking at Leicester side, but then you write it down on paper, and like you say, that is a really settled side, and you think maybe a centre half away from really pushing in. You keep Maguire, I like Johnny Evans, but I think if you had someone really good alongside him, there is no reason why you can't push Arsenal, Man United, and in my opinion, Chelsea for fifth, sixth position. There's no reason at all. I can see the top two staying there. They're strong. I hope Spurs push on and carry on sort of signing a couple more that they've been touted around and really try and close that gap. I don't see anything personally in Man United and in Arsenal and even in Chelsea this year that Leicester can't say, let's hang on to their coattails and let's see where we can really go.
Yeah, I just think it's clear, isn't it, when, you know, Man City have been linked with Ben Chilwell, Man United, Harry Maguire, Maddison to Spurs, all our players have been linked with the top six, and it's telling, isn't it, that clearly we're doing something right there. But yeah, let's talk about Sean Longstaff. That's kind of where we initially started. He's not a particularly glamorous looking footballer, but do you know what I mean? When someone comes through and like, oh, he fancies himself. He's not. He's about as basic in terms of footballer, normal boots on the pitch, nothing flashy. Just gets the job done. Very unassuming.
It reminds me a little bit of Matic.
Yeah.
Nemanja Matic.
And it's funny you say that, actually, because I was reading an article the other day comparing the two in terms of their stats, in terms of ball retention, long passing. And they were incredibly similar. And actually, Longstaff was actually better in a number of departments. You know, they were doing that, obviously, comparison because it looks like, well, we don't know if he looks like, but we know Man United are interested. But interesting, because he's 21, so he's not a kid. And it's not like he's just been on the periphery of... He's come out of nowhere. Last season on loan at Blackpool, fine, in League One. Scored, I think, near double figures for him in 30-odd games. So a very, very good return for a midfielder. Breakthrough into the team out of nowhere. Did very, very well. And then picked up an injury and was out of minutes. So he's actually only played a handful of games for Newcastle. So there's a lot of excitement around somebody who we haven't seen a huge amount about, and the build-up hasn't been a prolonged one. It's just happened. First of all, do you think that he has the ability to play for Manchester United? And secondly, do you think he will move on this summer?
I haven't seen a great deal close-up of him or enough of him to say where he's going to end up or what he's going to do. I've seen bits I've seen. I think he's gained more confidence the more the season has gone on. He's found that, okay, maybe I can hold myself. You know, he was a kid. He was 21. He was thrown in, like
and
you
he
say.
He was very much thrown in.
He was thrown in.
I think
his
first few games were all against the big
right.
boys, weren't they?
And he plays in a position, obviously, centre midfield, where you're either going to sink or swim. You're going to be found out or you're not. And they trusted him to play, to start games and to play 90 minutes. And I think you could see the more that he played, the more confident he got in himself without being arrogant.
Yeah.
So with that in mind and what I saw last season of him, I would say don't even think about moving on. Have another year. If it's I'd say at Newcastle. I can't see him moving anywhere else, really, to be honest, to start games and to play. Stay at Newcastle for another year. Get a full season under your belt. You do that, your price tag isn't going to change that much in a year's time from the ages of 21 to 22. If you're worth 50 million now, you have a good season, you're still going to be worth 50 million next season. Your value's not going to go down. So why not get a year
under... What if Newcastle get relegated? You know, I always... Because people said the same thing about Lampard, saying, oh, that Chelsea job will always be there. I think whilst that's a nice way of looking at things, same with Longstaff, I just don't think football works like that, you know. Because, you know, if Frank had not taken the Chelsea job this time and he got sacked by Derby last season, do you think he would have then got the Chelsea job the next time it came around?
Yeah.
I don't think so. You know, if Sean Longstaff again comes back and he doesn't start the season particularly well. Obviously, we know they've lost Benitez. They've lost the two top scorers, Perez and Rondon. If Newcastle then struggle next season and they get relegated, do you think Manchester United are then going to be interested in Sean Longstaff? I just think football's paid in the here and now, like just like life is. Do you know what I mean? There are opportunities there and you take them as and when you get them. I mean, what I think would actually be... I mean, it wouldn't happen, but what I think should happen if the transfer was to is for to United to sign him and send him back on loan. So he's a Man United player and he then gets that guaranteed game time back at Newcastle. But I just don't think you can sit and wait, because it may never happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's pros and cons of whichever way you look at it. In an ideal world, that option is probably the best. Man United get their player.
Yeah.
And then Man United can then turn around and say, look, in our midfield, how much football is he actually going to play? Is he going to stagnate? Is his development going to stop? Is it really worth us having him in and around? A bit like what Spurs have done with Jack Clarke.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've signed him, paid peanuts for him, and said, do you know what? No, you're not ready this year. Go back, play, and come back next year. A year older, a year stronger, but you're still our player. Ideally, in an ideal world, that would be the best thing they do with Longstaff. But are they going to... Can you see him spending £50 million on someone, then sending him back on loan?
No. I think as things stand, he probably gets into that team. You look at someone like Scott McTominay, he's
better than him.
I mean, we don't...
Well, we don't really know, do we? The thing with McTominay, he's played a lot more minutes than Longstaff.
Yeah.
It's an interesting one, but I get what you're saying about playing in the here and now, and probably that probably is the right move. But I, for his own personal development, if I wanted to not waste years of my career, I would stay at Newcastle. I would get a good season under my belt,
yeah,
and then I would look at next season and say, right, where am I? Where am I now? If we go down, I'm gone anyway. But if we've stayed up, you know, I've had a good season under my belt. I've got maybe got a young player of the year or a player of the year. I've got an international call up. Let me go and see where it takes me. That would be my move, but who knows?
Yeah, I have to say I'd get out of Newcastle. I would. It's half time here on the Transfer Rumour Mill show. When we come back, we'll do Manchester City. There has been a recoupling. Rodri.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
Thank you, David. Yeah, it was a little bit late, wasn't it, on my recoupling Love Island bingo. We're in classic Jake and Graham style, we're not totting this up, are we?
No, am I winning?
Well, Graham, look.
I'm winning 8-7.
Once again, we've decided on a game.
We don't know what we're doing. Who's going first or what?
Yeah, so producer David is in charge of the tings. Each time we throw in a Love Island gag, because me and Graham are Love Island super fans. Producer David, by the way, says this is completely lost on him. So each time we're doing it, we have to put our hand up, because he's obviously completely unawares each time we're throwing them in.
What was it you just said, Dave? It's all that's wrong with English society.
Yeah,
fair point.
I can't argue against
it.
Did you see the clip flying around the other day of them discussing geography, which is always a great one?
It was yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it Barcelona's in France?
There's no Barcelona's in Italy. So Barcelona's in Italy? And she was like dead sure.
Yeah.
Like, but no one even batted an eyelid.
Sitting there with Mrs. Butler, and we're sort of sitting there going, are they really that thick? Really? Like, seriously, it was just a moment where you just sit there with your mouth open.
But geography's going, always the one, in it.
I've
always stumbles everyone. Go on.
We went we will go back to the transfer, honestly, but it's a quick story. We was in Crete.
No rush.
In Crete 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And she'd got a message through on her phone that, basically, long story short, her mum, mother-in-law, had been telling her friends we're in Corfu, not Crete. Right. I was like, okay, well, easy to understand. Yeah. She went, bloody Corfu, we're nowhere near Spain.
Oh, yes.
So that was it. The sort of phone went down, the cards went down. I just looked at her and she got the death stare.
No.
I said, you're joking.
No.
Technically, we are nowhere near Spain, but...
No. Yeah.
But yeah, she thought Corfu was Spain.
Oh, there was one last year. It was Brexit. Was it talking about Brexit? I can't remember what it was, but it was brilliant. Yeah, it's guaranteed entertainment. Don't take it seriously and just take it for what it is. It's good fun. Not only is Love Island chat not banned, what is banned from tonight is Pogba and Maguire. Can't be bothered.
Yeah,
can't be bothered. Pogba is going to be similar to the Eden Hazard. I was at a similar point, you know, when Eden Hazard, every summer, every January, to Real Madrid, I just got sick of talking about it. So I'm not doing Paul Pogba. I'm not doing Paul Pogba. We can talk Man City, though. Rodri. Well, you were talking earlier about physically how you liked certain players. I think Rodri is a really interesting story. So he's just signed for Manchester City. He is, I think it's the fifth most expensive player in British history. Man City's record signing, £62.5 million. But did you know he was released by Atletico Madrid as a teenager because he was too small?
Really?
Yeah. So then signed him back and signed for £62 million. He's 6'2". He was released because he was too small.
It really does just show you, doesn't it? It does show
I always find that strange, though, actually, quickly, because obviously you've done a lot of coaching and whatnot back in, and still are. The amount of times we hear stories about players getting released because they're too small, does that genuinely happen?
Yeah. Especially with goalkeepers. Yeah, especially
because how many
with
times has that... I mean, it's happened too many times now for that to be a reason.
Have people not learnt
from this yet?
There was definitely... that was brandished. I don't know whether it was an easy get out for some people, just to brandish. You're too small. You're never going to make it. Too small. The game has changed ever so slightly now. Well, a lot, to be honest. But I must admit, even to the point of 5-10 years ago, even when I was playing as well, it was it's too small. You're never going to make it. It's too small. Too small. Too small.
But like the best footballers are small.
Yeah, it just shows you how it's gone round in circles now. Like we were saying earlier, when you look at players now, I look at Mason Mount. There's nothing of him, really.
No,
and he's
like James Maddison. Literally, would blow over in the wind. He often does.
But you look at these players now, and they're built as the next big thing, and it's his big English talent. But you look at him, and you think, my God, there's literally nothing of you.
Like Jamie Vardy refuses to go to the gym. By the way, he doesn't do any.
Yeah, I know.
Doesn't do any weights because he doesn't want to lose any of his speed.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Yeah, I just thought I'd ask.
I mean,
you
that. I know Dele Alli's over 6 foot. He looks like he needs a good meal inside him.
Takes two people to carry him off a sunlander.
Off a sunlander. It takes. Yeah. Oh, bless him.
And again, quickly on that, people were getting all knickers in a twist about this story. I thought that it's absolutely newsworthy. It's an England international, absolutely wasted, and two people carrying him off. But I don't think we should get upset. I've no issue with Dele Alli doing that. But at the same time, people have to accept that is a news story. That is a story. Or are you like, oh, just let him live, that shouldn't be?
A bit of both. I can see both sides to that. So, yes, that is a news story.
It's got me.
And, yes, you've got someone standing in a bush taking a picture. Look, there's Dele Alli. Look, absolutely trolled over there. Look, I've got to get a picture. I've got to get a picture of this. How long till they go back to pre-season? Oh, a week. Look, he can't even stand up yet. But then, was he really drunk? Or could he have been ill?
No,
could
he have had food poisoning? Graham. He was drunk. This isn't a debate. He was drunk. But people were getting so upset about it. And this, just let the guy live. It's like, they're fine.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he is a celebrity. If it was a movie star getting carried off, then
unfortunately,
it'd still
that
be
is
in the,
the
paper.
Way the world is now. And he's an England international, a young one that is living a high life and earning an awful lot of money. And they've seen it as a great opportunity to just portray him as this guy that doesn't really care about his football. Isn't really interested, bearing in mind he's only got a week till pre-season, and that he's just living the high life, getting drunk. And it so happened that the next day he was doing yoga.
I was going to say that the PR is already in full suit to see him on the rowing machine today.
The rowing machine. Yeah. And I've noticed since that has happened, he's posted every day of him on the rowing machine doing Bikram yoga.
Leave it out, mate.
Yeah.
It's just from the camera roll, that one.
That's from last year. He's wearing last year's shorts.
It's genuine.
No, not.
Let's talk about Rodri then. What do you make of that Fernandinho replacement?
Yeah, brilliant. He's Man City's type of play. He's definitely their type.
Type on paper.
And there's obviously a better connection.
No, mate. Full house.
No, there's obviously a better connection between between Man City and him than Atletico. And I think when you look at what Fernandinho has brought to that side over the course of four, five, however many years he's been there now, he is so instrumental in making David Silva play, making De Bruyne play, Bernardo, all these fantastic attacking players that they've got. There was always that one that just needed to sit there and do a job. Nothing spectacular, but just basically...
It's proper unsung hero, isn't he, Fernandinho?
Get the ball and give it to them. Mm. And I think that Rodri, from what I've seen him at Atletico Madrid and in Europe and that, is the ideal player. I know that these players cost money now and the likes of obviously the money they're thrown about, but they've brought them onto another level. When you look at Aymeric Laporte is the perfect example. Mm. When they paid ridiculous amounts of money for him, everyone's like, what? It's just throwing money about now, but... The guy is clearly world class in that position that he wanted him to play, and they obviously want to play a certain way.
Yeah,
and they're not just going to go out and handpick the best player that's on everybody's lips at that year, like Real Madrid were doing with the Galacticos. They've actually researched and spent an awful lot of money in one particular player that they see fits that role that Fernandinho will eventually.
It's a clear strategy to everything they do.
Exactly that. They're not just going out and picking out, you know, the latest trend and whoever's in the headlines the most. There is research and their scouting system works tirelessly. And Rodri is someone, obviously, everyone we know, but never really thought of. But Man City have obviously thought about it and goes, right, what is he going to bring to this team? What is he going to play the exact way Pep wants to play? Obviously, yes. Mm. And we bring him in. And he's very similar to another player that he's been linked to at the minute, which is Saúl Ñíguez. Atletico, I think he's fantastic. He's such a good player. And I've been really surprised that he hasn't been linked in the past to other teams. And it's only really been this season that there's been a bit of noise about him. And I always thought he would be one that end up in the Premier League, but Rodri seems to have beaten him to it.
Yeah, and that Atletico Madrid is really interesting, isn't it? Because they've lost a couple of players. Lost Theo Hernandez.
They lost Theo Hernandez to Bayern.
Mm.
They've lost someone else, but they've signed João Felix.
They signed Marcos Llorente from Real Madrid.
Real Madrid, yes.
Yeah. But yeah, £112 million
on João Felix. I might be wrong, but Philippe Luiz, the left-back, has he gone on a free transfer somewhere?
I'm not sure.
Available on a free transfer, unless he signed it. Diego Godin.
Godin's gone to Inter.
Yeah,
but João Felix, £112 million. I mean, I'm a little bit disappointed, you know, that he's gone at Atletico, just because of the Atletico machine under Diego Simeone. It doesn't really favour flair players, does it? Do you know what I mean? I think that
they're very pragmatic in what
they do. Atletico's a great club, of course it is, and they're a successful club. I just feel that for him as a talent, it's probably not going to see the best of him.
That came out of the blue. Mm. I was shocked. And
fifth most expensive all time.
Atletico Madrid, over the last few years, especially with Simeone there, you haven't really seen them throw massive amounts of money.
St. Thomas Lamar last year, which was their record signing at 60.
60, yeah. But they're very sort of... But when you look at 60 now, that's kind of like the going rate for a flair winger, isn't
it? Anyone decent, 50 plus. Decent.
So 60 million, whilst you go, oh, that's a good transfer. Unfortunately, madness now that you don't really turn your nose up at it. It's kind of like the average. For them, then they'd go and sign a free transfer from somewhere. They'll get someone on loan. I look at someone like Diego Costa that they brought in, and Morata went there for a little bit, didn't he? Has he gone? He's gone there now, isn't he?
I think he's back at Chelsea at the moment.
I can't work that one out, but I thought he'd gone back to Atletico for 60. I'm sure I read something that Chelsea will, the payments will end up for 60 million for Morata, which I think is crazy.
No, I think so too, but I'm sure I read something the other day he's actually with...
112 million for someone that has only really been on the scene for 12 months.
Yeah, I say not even full 12 months.
I must admit, a year ago, I wouldn't have known who he was.
No.
And it's only been, obviously this name's been brandished and you go and have a research on him and you watch him and you go, He ain't. But there's something there.
Yeah.
For someone like Atletico to go and bid 112 million and then go and get him, you're like, right, game's gone. I don't know what's going on there.
João Felix, by the way, also someone who was released for being too small.
He's tiny though, isn't he?
Yeah, he is tiny, but he's now nearly 6 foot.
Oh really?
But he's just incredibly skinny.
Yeah.
He was released by Porto as a kid and then signed for Benfica.
Which is strange.
So Porto will be kicking their heels now.
When you look at the mould that Porto brought, Deco.
It's unbelievable. As I say, you know,
Deco was 5'7" and went on to be probably one of the best European players of his generation. And yet now they're releasing players because they're too small.
Like, how many top midfield players, particularly creative ones, are over the height of 6 foot? Literally, no. Hardly any.
Look at Modric.
Zinedine Zidane, right? I think is the only one physically, and Cristiano Ronaldo. I'm trying to think of other, like, particularly creative. There's not many, are there?
Could you throw Pogba in there? I suppose.
Yeah, but again, he breaks the mould a little bit.
But
he does.
Like, in the day and age, it's very hard to rattle them off. I reckon if we went back 15 years, the whole long list. Yeah. Ronaldinho.
Yeah.
Half the Brazilian side, Rivaldo. Trying to think of the French side. Djorkaeff, what was he? Probably 6 foot-ish.
About 6 foot.
Robert Pires was over 6 foot.
Mm.
Bergkamp, 6 foot.
But yeah.
Berbatov, over 6 foot.
But it doesn't
Gregor
happen.
Raziak, Gregor, 6 foot three.
Did you really just throw in a Gregor Raziak? Wow, that's one for the purists, isn't it?
Right, we get signed everywhere.
We do need to take a break. More transfer stuff coming up before 10 p.m.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
Yeah, and it is the Transfer Rumour Mill Show. Myself and Graham Butler with you for another 10 or so minutes. By the way, it's the Copa America final this evening. Brazil in action against Peru. Brazil, I was about to say it's 1-1, but Brazil have just scored. It's now 2-1. I believe it'll be their first trophy in 12 years. Let me just confirm that. Yeah, they've not won anything for more than a decade. I now can't find that. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Just to confirm as well, we were talking about, it's their first title in 12 years if they win this evening. Just take the lead 2-1. We're just talking very briefly about Alvaro Morata. There was confusion about whether he had gone or if he was back at pre-season. He has gone to Atletico Madrid. That deal has been confirmed. Wanted to talk about Charlie Austin. I saw you tweeting about him early on today, Graham. One of the very few tweets without expletives in it.
I just always wait for the reply. Will you stop being angry?
You're an angry man. I find it funny, Graham, because, you know...
I just sit there and wait for Jacob's reply.
You're such a nice man.
Thank you.
And if you didn't know you and you were just on your Twitter... You'd come across as a very angry man.
Thank you.
Do you just build it all up and then just let it go on Twitter?
Unfortunately,
I unload all your frustrations on life at just some randoms you've never met before.
Some idiot that has just got on my nerves for 5 minutes. I can't hold it in, and I just end up walking around work. I'm sitting there, no, it's building up. Right, I need to sit down for 2 minutes.
Let it go, Graham. Let it go.
I need to sit down for 2 minutes because this is really building up on me now, and I'm getting frustrated with this nonsense that this guy is coming out with.
The best one, actually. No. The best one. I'm actually going to find the tweet right now from you. I've got to find this. So it was
what's
someone.
It, about?
It was someone tweeting about Love Island.
But was I defending it?
No, he'd done a very funny tweet, basically slagging off someone, but then he changed it up. I'll find it. But you hadn't read the whole tweet. You were so desperate to be angry.
He come back and he went, you haven't read the whole thing. I went, no, clearly not. Yeah. Dive straight in with 2 feet.
I'm going to find it. I've got to.
It was something about Curtis.
It was team so-and-so. Here we are. So so Billy Bishop tweeted, proper gutted for Ramba and fair play to Anna for backing her friend. Got so much respect for that. Love Island can be so cruel. ... Right, think they've stopped reading now. Get in there, Michael. Take a bow, son. Don't take that rubbish from Anna. Tell her to shut up and win her headers. So obviously... And Graham's reply, fair play to Anna. You watched a different Love Island, darling. Biggest hypocrite on the show I've ever seen. I was like, didn't get to the end of the tweet, did you? And I said, that's an important lesson for you, Graham, to stop being so angry. I hope you've learned from that.
Yeah, maybe.
That made me laugh so much.
When he put that, I was like, oh dear. I will learn one day not to go diving in with 2 feet.
Oh, mate. Right, let's talk about Charlie Austin, shall we? This was what your tweets was earlier, saying that you'd have him at Spurs, think he could do a job for you as a backup striker, and £8 million represents decent business.
29 years old. He'd worked with Pochettino for a year, I think, when he first joined. Or had he? I think he was there for a year. Oh, no, he was Ricky Lambert, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, I think he worked with Ricky Lambert, not Charlie Austin. But, do you know, I think if you was looking for someone, that my opinion, or I was in the mindset of, if you was looking for someone that knows that he's not going to play every week, he's clearly not in Southampton's plans, he's kind of sort of sitting there thinking, right, where do I go now? Do I go for a top-end championship side, become the main man, score 25, 30 goals and get promoted? Do I try and stay in the Premier League and get a move somewhere to maybe like a Newcastle that maybe have lost an Oezie Perez and a Rondon. And Charlie Austin is a typical Newcastle sort of signing.
Yeah, it's a good show. I could see him there.
A proper number nine. Well, not a proper number nine, but he's a number nine that will potentially play every week, providing he's injury free, and will score them some goals. And he'll probably do a job like what Rondon done. But I just think at Spurs, I saw it as, throw him a lifeline. Sort of say to him, you're going to get Champions League football. You're going to get minutes in the FA Cup, the League Cup. You're going to get league minutes. Obviously, you're not going to be first choice. You're not going to be the main man.
Yeah.
But you're going to be involved.
But is he that good? Because I think, I've always thought there was a bit, he's just overrated, I feel. I think people rate him higher than what he is. I think the fact that he can't get in that Southampton team. And Southampton's a pretty poor team.
Yeah.
You know, there's no world-class striker keeping him out, is there?
No, there's something...
Don't get me wrong.
Have they just signed Danny Ings for 20 million?
Yeah, that's just been confirmed. Mm. So, look, Southampton are no mugs and Charlie Austin isn't rubbish. But I just feel that he probably is a top-level championship striker.
Yeah.
For whatever... Because he had a couple of decent spells, didn't he? And I think there's just that excitement around him. But ultimately, he's never really lived up to it. And I think that's because he's just actually not quite that good.
I think that eight million is probably about right then, really, in as much as I think he might be on a fair few.
He's on big money as well.
So, that you know, they're dropping the trend. They clearly just want him out of the club, not through no fault of his own, not through like sort of attitude or anything like that. They just need him off the wage bill, which is why I thought of it. Spurs could maybe look at it and sort of have him there and sort of see how it goes. If he doesn't end up anywhere, sort of say, look, we'll throw you a lifeline for a year. Come and sit on the bench. 20, 25 minutes, you come on. You play the odd cup game, you play the odd league game, but you'll be in and around, and it's just another attacking option for Spurs. If you needed someone to score your goal with 15, 20 minutes to go and you chuck him on, I guarantee you he could probably, you know, it'd help. It'd certainly be, I think, a better option than Llorente.
Yeah.
He's obviously 4 or 5 years younger. And if you kept him fit, there's a good backup striker in there. When I look at Sturridge at Liverpool backing up Firmino and Mane and Salah, Austin backing up Kane, Sonny and Lucas, to me, isn't really much of a difference. And whilst I think there's a player still in Sturridge somewhere and there's another guy that needs to get himself out and get himself playing again, I think the same with Charlie Austin, that a big sort of top 4 or 5 club could take a punt on him to say that, you know, be a squad player, but you're going to be called upon and you're going to be needed. So I need you to be fit, I need you to be fresh. But you've got now a chance of playing Champions League football. And for 8 million, I genuinely don't... For a 29-year-old as well, I don't see you can go much wrong.
Yeah, no, it would be interesting to see. I don't think that move will happen. But it'd be interesting to see if he does stay in the Premier League or if he does have to drop down into the Championship. Graham, a quick one on Maxi Gomez, the Celta Vigo striker, Uruguayan international. West Ham are very, very keen. They've been trying to sign him for a little while. Tried to sign him in January. They were told, wait till the summer. They've bid his release clause about £45 million. But the rumours is, well, the story is that he wants to stay in Spain, wants to go to Valencia, but Valencia basically can't afford him. That's serious business by West Ham. I mean, nobody would have seen a huge amount of him. You know, nobody's going to profess to be a Maxi Gomez expert. But £45 million is a big commitment from West Ham. If they've lost Andy Carroll, Javier Hernandez looks like he may go. Lucas Perez as well. Arnautovic as well. West Ham need to replace him. And they're serious about spending cash on someone.
They tend to throw one in every year, don't they? They sort of... there's a big money transfer with West Ham every year that they just throw one in and somehow... more often than not pull it off. Like you said, I'm not exactly a big Maxi Gomez expert. I can't tell you this, that and the other about him, but
there was a lad.
I know he's a
he's
bit of a
beast.
He's
never been released for being too small.
No, he really isn't. But there has been some obviously interest. His name has been flying about this sort of transfer window with a lot of big sides as well. And if West Ham are going to pull that off, they must have offered him something that the others can't, or whether the others... whether that interest was really there, who knows? But it's a statement for West Ham, at least, definitely. Have they got the players in and around him to get the most out of him and to sort of justify that £45 million? Who knows? But it's a bit of a statement from him, for sure.
No, we spoke about Leicester earlier on the season, about how they're building a very good squad. I think West Ham, same. There's a very, very strong 11. It's on that Pablo Fornals, haven't they? The Spanish international. Looks like they'll keep hold of Issa Diop as well. Yarmolenko to come back. after he was injured last season. West Ham, they've got a decent 11. If they get Maxi Gomez, that'd be very exciting. Graham, pleasure being back in the studio with you. Yep. Don't be angry. Stay happy. And I'll see you next week.
It'll be a week of non-angriness.
Yes, please.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.